Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and welcome to my show. It's a lovely afternoon here in the South. I'm sure a lot of people are starting to have a little bit cooler weather. I think we'll take 5 degrees or 10 degrees, that is all great, right? Because it's been so hot this year. Well, today's show is going to be super exciting. I don't know if you notice it, but around the middle of August, I can always start sensing the earth is tipping or the sun is setting or there's a change in the air. And I always remember, as a single parent of 4 children, time for school. Now, I could always catch that from outside, or I could just sense it's time for school again. So it was really great for me. All the 4 kids, it was time to go back to school. And I remember in the Northeast, they didn't go back to school until after Labor Day. However, my children benefited greatly. They went to school back in August. I lived in Arizona, where you went the second or the third week in August. Lived in Louisiana, where, goodness gracious, they've been to school already for a week and a half. And then we lived in California, where they also went early. So here today, we have with us Barbara Blalock of Treasures for Teachers. It is a nonprofit in Arizona where their mission is to provide supplies to teachers that will really need the support in their classrooms. You know, it's really important today to have those supplies, because if you're a teacher and you're sitting there and, you know, 5 kids or 6 kids can't complete the assignment because they don't have supplies, that's usually coming out of the teacher's pocket to put some in a little stash in her desk. I'm sure you really didn't know that. But it's not really great when you as a parent can't afford it either, and you don't really know where to get those supplies. So, Barbara, are you with us?
I am with you.
Hi. Glad to have you today.
Thank you for having me.
Great. Well, you know, I was really interested in Treasures for Teachers because I know myself with the kids, I would send everything in the first day of school, and by the second day of school, Lord knows where that stuff went. You know, and then 2 months later, we have to go back and buy school supplies again, you know. So I'm sure that the teachers must have been giving them some items. And now that there's such a economy has taken such a hit, I even wonder how the teachers are surviving. So if you could share a little with us about what you're finding out about the teachers and how you even got started in this project.
Yeah, well, thank you. I was working for the Valley of the Sun YMCA when I realized that a lot of other nonprofits out there didn't have the funds as well, in addition to the schools, to provide supplies to their teachers and to their students. So I contacted Intel, which is a big computer company, I'm sure all your listeners know, and asked them if they might have supplies that they could donate. And they did. They do a program called Dump Your Junk every quarter. So they started donating to me every quarter all of the excess supplies that they had in their offices, paper, pencils, markers, file folders, new and used. And that's the one thing that I really like to stress, is that we really appreciate used items just as much as new items, because then we also know that we're keeping these materials out of the landfill. So I started collecting these materials and decided collecting them in my garage, and one thing led to another, and I created Treasures for Teachers so that teachers could come and get supplies and materials that they needed to supplement in their classrooms. The budget here in Arizona, the education budgets are really strapped, and teachers find themselves in their classroom with no money for supplies and no supplies. So Treasures for Teachers, what we do is we try to help supplement that by the teachers are able to come here and get items for free or at extremely low cost. And it can be anything from paper pencils to golf balls and books.
You know, that's absolutely wonderful, because in this day and age, when someone leaves a job, all of their items generally are just pitched. You know, they don't, if I'm a secretary and I've used all the things on the desk, not all the time does someone else go in and use those. They just eliminate the you know, everything that they were using. And when businesses close down, you know, or if I'm going out of business, some people, the owners of these companies, just disappear, and whoever you rented that space from is loaded with items that you could potentially use.
Yep, that's exactly how we get a lot of our materials, especially when the economy was struggling there and a lot of businesses were closing or downsizing. We would get all the excess materials, and you're right about the office. What happens is somebody will take a banker's box and they'll fill the box with all the items that were on that desk so that the desk's clear and clean for a brand new person to come in, but now they have all this used stuff that they don't want to give to a new person, but they don't also want to throw it away. So it comes to us, and then it gets into the hands of teachers, which also gets into the hands of the students, because many students don't have the supplies as well.
You know, it's I noticed about the past 3 weeks, actually, here in the South, we started in the middle of July purchasing, as parents, different school supplies. And when you go to Walmart, it is so darn busy, because that is probably the only place where you can get a notebook for 17 cents or 50 cents and crayons for 25 cents. And if you have a lot of kids or you have a very tight budget, that's pretty much your only resource. And if you miss that or you don't have the money for that, you're sending your kids to school without items.
Right. Exactly. And then the teachers end up having to supplement that for the students, because they obviously would not want their students to be sitting in class without a pencil or a piece of paper. So they absolutely go ahead and supplement that and make sure that they have enough for all of the students in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, you think when you send your kids that, oh, just borrow it from the kid next to you or whatever, or you'll be without it. You know, some teachers I have noticed in the past have said, you don't have your items, you can't take the test. You don't have the items, you can't do the project. You don't have the items, you can't do the job. But, and I'm sure that that potentially was probably because the teacher was strapped. So this program really does sound like it's helping the teachers so that the students can gain the benefit too, because they don't have that feeling that, you know, it's coming out of my pocket again every time they walked into the school.
Absolutely, yeah. One of the things that kind of struck me is one time I was in a classroom and a student walked up to the teacher and she handed her shoe, and the teacher gave the student a pencil. And I said, why did she give you her shoe?
Wow.
And she goes, so that I could get my pencil back, because if I run out of pencils, then I don't have any to give to any of the other students. And that was right before I started the program, and I said, oh my gosh, I never realized. And teachers go through about 300 pencils a month. And that doesn't sound like much probably, but if you add a nickel to every pencil and they have to buy it out of their own pocket, it does add up after the course of a year. So pencils are really one of those things that seems to, you know, not be that valuable, but try to do an assignment without a pencil. You know, students have to have pencils and the teachers have to have the pencils to give to the students. So whether they're buying them or they're getting them free or donated or the parents are supplying them, they always, always have to have pencils.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And, you know, we as parents don't always realize that, you know, especially when you're sending your kids out in, you know, the beginning of the year with all these supplies, you think they last forever. The
right.
supplies generally last about a month or two. And how many parents really know that maybe in October or November I need to be shopping again, or in January I definitely need to be shopping again? They just assume the kids are going to go on their merry way and, you know, they'll find the way.
Right, right, and they do. They use them, they lose them, you know, they forget them. So whatever happens to those pencils and those school supplies do disappear probably right after the month. We actually get busier right after school starts, because the teachers then know what they need and how much they need. So it really helps for them to be able to be in the classroom to see, you know, what kind of supplies they need and what kind of supplies the students may need as well.
You know, I can remember after Christmas holidays, I went to a Catholic school growing up, and they would always say, take home all of your items and bring them back in January because we're going to clean the school, whatever that meant. But I think it just meant that they were going to sweep and wax the floors. But, you know, how many of us really brought our stuff back in January, too? So I'm sure you're probably very busy around then,
yes,
just after
absolutely.
The holidays.
Uh-huh. January is another time that we pick up quite busily.
So can you tell us about what items get donated or how people can give supplies?
Oh my gosh. It's amazing. I just had a group in here yesterday. It was in the National Association for Professional Organizers. So to have that group come in here and kind of go through the space and look at the kinds of items, they said they had no idea. The way we have it arranged is that we have these buckets on all these shelves, just bucket after bucket after bucket, and there's all kinds of different things. We take everything from yarn to golf balls to file folders, staplers, tape dispensers, and then we take non-traditional items as well and a lot of recycled items. So, you know, when a teacher does a project, she needs 30, 40, or 50 items of one thing. So, like, if they were doing a project with toilet paper rolls or paper towel rolls, they need 30, 40, or 50 of them. So we collect those types of things, egg cartons, especially during Easter time, the holiday times. They can find binders. Binders are always free to them. They can take as many binders as they need, so they can get one for every student if they like. And then we have the little trinkets for treasure boxes. And then one of the most popular things is, of course, books. You know, all teachers need books, all kinds of books. They need them for their classroom libraries. They need them for their students to read, so they can always find books. And how we get the donations, they come to us in several different ways. We pick up donations every Tuesday and Wednesday. If we have donors that have more than 10 boxes or large items that they want to donate, all they have to do is call us, and we will arrange to have them have the items picked up either on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. And then all day, every day that we're open, we have people that just come to our back door and bring us donations. And they can be private people. We get a lot of retired teachers. Retired teachers love to donate to us because they really feel like their materials are going back into the hands of another teacher and into a classroom. And what's nice about it is, especially if it's a teacher that did a lot of homemade stuff or handmade stuff, or they put together their own curriculums or their own kits, it really makes them feel good to know that a teacher is going to get those materials, especially first-year teachers. And then we get just your average people that, you know, are collecting their toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls for us.
You know, it's really interesting you said about the retired teachers about bringing the supplies, because, you know, once it's in your blood, you know about, like I said, I always know when it's August and I go to Walmart and I'm like, well, how many packages do I really need of those erasable markers?
Right.
And I just automatically buy those things. It's just they're here because that is something that I've always done. And I'm like, well, maybe the kids will come back and they'll want them, you know. So I'm sure the teachers have that in their blood, too. You know, they know items that have been used in the past, and that is just something that they automatically do when it comes to them, and they just want to share it and give back.
Right.
You know, that's really interesting you said about different items about, I can remember when kids come to do projects, you know, I have to do this project. I need 20 buttons. And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? and you know, and then when it's in the kids are in their high school years, they're not going to use old and used items from home. I need 20 buttons. I'm going to go to Walmart or I'm going to go to the fabric store and I'm going to go buy 20 buttons. And I'm like, are you crazy? You know?
Right.
Some people just don't understand that, but if you don't have the money, where are you going to get those 20 buttons?
Mm-hmm. Yep, and
you know?
A lot of times the teachers will load up here so that their students don't have to go spend that money. So they'll take all that kind of materials and be able to offer them a collection of stuff when they're doing a project. So it's really great that they can do that.
Yeah, because it's not always that you have, you know, a bunch of rock salt in your house.
Yep.
to make ice cream with a ball, you know, or how many pieces of felt do you need to have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's just not something that you would commonly always have. So every time kids come home, it's usually 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and they're telling you that they need something for the next day. So definitely, when people can give to the teachers and the items are there, it's not let's run out at midnight and find a store open so we can get something.
Right. Right.
You have some events coming up. Can you tell us about those?
I do. We partner with the Kids in Need Foundation, and what the Kids in Need Foundation does is they connect all of the resource centers. There are other resource centers like ours across the country. If they were to go to the Kids in Need Foundation page, they could find those. And what the Kids in Need Foundation did was they worked with Walgreens this year, and Walgreens did a school supply drive across the nation for all of the resource centers. So here in Arizona, for example, we have over 200 Walgreens stores that have been collecting school supplies for our program over this last week. So at on Saturday, this coming Saturday, is the last day of the collection in any Walgreens here in Arizona. Next week, we get to go to all the Walgreens and pick up the donations that people have donated to the Walgreens through the Kids in Need Foundation. And the following week, we will be able to give those materials to teachers for free so that they can supplement their classrooms and use them either for themselves or for the students, especially if the students need them. So we'll have be able to distribute the school supply drive. We do the giveaway in a really unique and fun way. I think it's so fun. What we do is we do a drive-by giveaway. And what happens is we have bags all set, already put together by all of our volunteers. They'll coordinate and put all kinds of they'll put a variety of the school supplies into a bag for each teacher, and they come into a line and they drive by and we hand them their bags and they just get a bag and we thank them for being a teacher and for what they do because we really appreciate it. And it's so much fun. We get volunteers that come and they'll clap and hurrah and just really show our appreciation for the teachers and be able to give them free school supplies.
You know, that's absolutely wonderful, because I can tell you in here in the South, we have a lot of teachers now that were let go this year because they didn't have some contracts in place. So it was a nice way of saying we have to cut our budget.
Mm-hmm.
So when you cut a contract, you cut a budget. And what they did was there's so many teachers now that don't even have work, but it's putting so much more pressure on the teachers that are still in the classroom because now they have more students.
Yeah, exactly.
And potentially they do not have a budget to put 5 cents in, you know, to bring in any supplies. And a lot of their salaries are getting lowered. So I'm sure that this project, you know, if anyone can start it in their local area, that would absolutely be fabulous. Do you have any tips or pointers on people on how to start this in their area? I know you did it from your passion at that time, but if someone's just seeing the need right now, how do you start something like this?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so glad you asked. My dream before I die is to have a Treasures for Teachers in every state. So that is my dream. We did a satellite in Tucson, Arizona, to see how that would work, and it has been phenomenal. It's worked just without a hitch. We've had no problems. So we already have it in the works of what it would look like to have a Treasures for Teachers in your state. So it's really quite simple, and it's really not very expensive or anything to get it started. Primarily, somebody would just need to have a location. Usually you can get a portable classroom donated to you or a space in a warehouse that somebody might have or some space that somebody might have to get started. Or even if they wanted to start as small as I did, I just started in my garage and then I took the materials out to the schools just to get it going. So, yeah, if anybody is interested, they can just contact me directly, and I would let them know how. What we call it is an affiliate of Treasures for Teachers, and so they would also be called the Treasures for Teachers, and they would be able to use our logo and all of our information, our files, and all of our handbooks and that sort of thing. So, it's quite a dream of mine, so hopefully we'll see it come true.
Well, you know, that's absolutely wonderful that you're using it as an affiliate because so many of the nonprofits are saying, well, you know, I did it this way and it was a hard one and you'll never be able to do it. See you later. You know?
Oh,
but that's
yeah.
not really a way of paying forward. And, I mean, what is the point of doing it in the first place if you can't share it or ask or help anyone else try to do it?
Right, right. And you know, I was actually in the Family Circle magazine, and when that article broke, I had interest from all over the country for people. A lot of times, though, what happens is when they hear it is a lot of work to get something started, mm-hmm. and so it takes time for them to kind of get it into their bones and really have that passion to go. But
right.
once they do, I just know that it would be so successful. And in here in Tucson, she is just really already out of space. She's looking for new space because she's grown so quick, and she's only been open for 6 months.
You know, that sounds really great because I do know it takes a while once you plant the seeds for them to sprout. So I'm sure
mm-hmm.
that's what you've already done is planted a lot of seeds. And,
yep.
you know, probably in about a year or so, you'll start seeing some more energy generated.
Right. I hope so. And I hope maybe even through this radio show.
Right. Because we do have a lot of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, you know, just to talk about how people get a passion for something, you know. When you see something happen, so many people sit back and they don't really want to act on it. I can tell you myself, there was one day I went to a doctor's appointment and I was sitting in the waiting room, and it's for a low cost or free cost health care. I was sitting in the waiting room, and on one side would be the blood doctor, the other side was the diabetes doctor, the other side was the cancer doctor, and the other side was for the OBGYN. Well, that was the most interesting waiting room to sit in, you know, to have a passion. Because I saw this very heavy-set man raiding the snack machine, sitting right next to a man that was in such excruciating pain from cancer. And it's just such a difference, you know, on what you see, mm-hmm. and where is your passion? You know, what would you like to see change? So I'm sure you saw that when you had the effect with the shoe, you know, about the pencil. That
right.
is very important when you have a vision to say, man, you know, I'm just overdone on this. You know, I'm done. Why does that have to be?
Right.
You know,
and, you know, I see that a lot when people go to throw things away, and even the things that really you think are garbage and it isn't. So trying to do that whole educational piece about how important it is that we reuse, and that we teach our students and our children to reuse, and why we shouldn't be a throwaway society, because if we continue doing it the way that we are, we're just going to, you know, suffer, and our kids will suffer, and our grandkids will suffer. So I really talk a lot about when the teachers come and shop and they take something that, mm-hmm. you know, a paper towel roll or egg carton, I'll say, you know, make sure you let your students know where this came from and how it came about and why it's important that we're reusing items like this, so that they can kind of learn that educational component of it as well.
And I think it's teaching life skills. You know, we have to teach life skills to our children. We can't just plop them, leave them off for the day and see you later, you know. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I do the same thing with health and with food, is that, you know, I could send my husband to the grocery store to list, and he'll come back, and I'll be like, okay, one-third of these items aren't the right ones. You bought them, this can had a ding, the box was open, you know, or the fruit is not ripe, or the meat was kind of funky brown, whatever. And
mm-hmm.
you know what most people do is they throw that away. They say, oh, well, whatever, I'm not going back there, I don't have the time, and I throw it away. It's like how we as people right now are just in a disposable society. I mean, you know, learn more about what you should be getting at the store, you know, learn more what you should be getting at school, learn more where your things come from and how much of a trek it took to get there, you know,
right.
And, and how you can pay that forward. So, you know, if you're at school and, you know, there's only 5 books and there's 10 kids and you're going to have to share, well, learn that, you know, maybe the teacher has to say in some instances, you know, there's been cuts, you know, with the board this year, this is the books we're going to have, but we're going to take that money, we're going to use this here, or if you know anyone that can donate, and then share that forward, you know.
Right.
Kids will start even bringing those things in and helping out and, you know, paying a little more forward. Well, I don't have a pencil today, but you know what? My mom had 2 rolls of toilet paper. They're empty. I brought it in. So
right.
and, it's sharing that.
I have a really good example of that. Bottle caps. They're starting to change the technology of bottle caps where they can break them down. But a while ago, you weren't supposed to leave the bottle caps on your bottles, because when the bottles would go through the machinery, it would ruin them, because they wouldn't be able to break down as well.
Mm.
So we would collect all the bottle caps. Well, I had teachers collecting bottle caps for me, and they had their students collecting them. And then the teachers could come here and get as many bottle caps as they wanted, and they would make games out of them, use them as manipulatives, spelling, math. So that is exactly something that the students can do, and they were so proud to be able to bring their bottle caps in to the teacher, and then the teacher, if she had access, she would bring them here to share them with other teachers.
Yeah, so it's teaching them your passion, so it's sharing
mm-hmm.
that forward. It's not just somebody coming in and, what am I going to get for free today, and, oh, look at me, you know?
Right.
It's
right.
teaching them a process, which is so much more important these days than just, what can I give away? Or, oh, my mom bought me this. Who cares? You know, and leave
yeah.
it there.
Yep, yep.
You know, and I also did see on your website about the membership. So the membership is very minimal for teachers. Do you have anything in process So I guess the teachers pay a membership fee and then they can come in and shop. Is that correct?
Yes. So what, the way it works is the teachers pay a $35 a year membership fee. I say that's less than $3 a month, and just in free items that they can take out of here, they will get their money back, no problem. And really that $35 a year membership fee, all that does is sustain us. It pays for the building that we're in,
right,
the lease. It pays for a few salaries, and not very many of us, and it pays for the truck rental that we rent to go pick up our donations. And then the teachers can come and they fill bags in one area. It's called fill a bag for $5. They can fill grocery-sized bags as full as they can fill them, as heavy as they can carry them, for a $5 donation.
Wow.
We have a free area where they can get all the kinds of recycled items we talked about, binders, file trays, all the organizational supplies that you need for your desk, so all the file trays that they need, green hanging file folders, those types of things, they can get all that for free. We also even have free curriculum in the free zone. And then we have a little store called, we call it Better Than the Dollar Store, and it's items that are 25 cents or 50 cents, and we have a little fill-a-bag for a dollar area where it's like one of the most popular areas, and it's all the treasure box types items that teachers love to have in their classroom for their students as incentives or birthdays or something like that. So when a teacher walks out of here, she may spend $7 and walk out with two shopping carts full of stuff, just like you would not believe. And then that $7 just goes right back into the nonprofit organization to keep us operating.
It's absolutely wonderful. Could you also just tell us, everyone, about how to contact you, your website, where you're located on Facebook or any place?
You bet. Our website is just treasures, the number 4, teachers.org, so treasuresforteachers.org. If they go to Facebook and type in Treasures for Teachers, we will come right up. I'm very active on Facebook. I find that social media has really given nonprofits a great opportunity to be able to talk about their programs, market their programs, let more people become more aware of programs with the social media. And then my Twitter name is Reuse It. So if they want to go to Twitter, we are Reuse It. And that's also my license plate.
Oh, cool. Now, it's not Reuse It, the product. It's Reuse It.
Yep, yep.
The items, yes.
The items, yep.
Sounds great. So if anybody is looking for ideas on how to get this started in your area, you can contact Barbara at the website. It's treasures with an S, the number 4, teachers with an S, .org. And you'll be able to contact her directly through there. She also has a lot, Barbara, you have a lot of sponsors on here.
I do.
So how do you find those sponsors? Are those national and they just come to you? Or let's say I start one in my area. Would these local sponsors, like, or maybe local divisions maybe work with me? Or how would we work with that?
Absolutely. Most of our sponsors are local, but then they also have a national presence. So depending on who they are, let's talk about IKEA, for example. IKEA has been so supportive of our program, and they're all over the country. And they just did a $10,000 makeover for us, which was phenomenal. So if you do go on to my Facebook page, you'll be able to see some of the pictures of before and after. But they are all over the country. And so if somebody was to want to start Treasures for Teachers, I would say that IKEA would be one of the donors that they would want to contact because they have been so supportive of us. So, Intel, U.S. Airways, S.P. Richards, we've just had some Discover. They've just been so supportive. And primarily most of these donors are donating materials. They are donating excess office supplies, items that they just have in their offices or when they downsize or when they move or relocate. So it's just been phenomenal. We couldn't do it without sponsors, and we couldn't do it without volunteers either. And let me tell you, when I first started Treasures for Teachers, my first 5 years, I operated 100% with volunteers. And if you get those volunteers in here that have the passion, and they'll stick with you forever. They are your best form of motivation. They're your best form of marketing. They are just something that any nonprofit couldn't do without. But I just have the best. I always say that if I were to have a staff, I'd have 30 people on staff because I have 30 volunteers that come on a regular basis as if they were my staff.
Sounds wonderful, you know, because I do know that here we live in the South, there's so many volunteers. It seems every day or week there's several hundred, or, and in the summer could be thousands in the city at one time. So definitely people are always looking for opportunities to give back. You just have to be able to find those people and connect with them.
Right.
So what I was wondering about on your site, it also talked about, if you have, let's say, where people are giving back, like a company, like you say, IKEA or Southwest or Mayo, and you're there in Arizona, but I happen to be, let's say, in Michigan where there's another Mayo, would I go directly to that Mayo, or would you have those contacts that would work with us?
We should probably do both.
Right.
I think we would do both. I think I would contact the Mayo and ask them if they had that connection and who we could introduce that person to, and then they would make that connection with their local Mayo.
So really getting an affiliate started in your area seems rather simple because you're providing several ideas on how to get started, but not only that, you're also having a lot of contacts to back it up. It's
right.
Not like here's a program, I'm going to give it to you, and have at it, see you later, go find your own contacts. You're really giving us something to start with.
Exactly, and that's kind of what happened. It was really good for us to use Tucson as our satellite to see how that would work. And, you know, for something that took me almost 5 years to get up and running really at a solid pace, has taken her 6 months. And the reason why is because everything's already in place. I've done all of the work. I've created the membership forms and the volunteer forms and the handbooks and everything to kind of make her successful. So she didn't have to take the time to get her program going in order to get all of the paperwork and things in place to become a Treasures for Teachers. It's already there. So it really is quite simple for somebody to just kind of pick it up and go with it.
Is there a large fee associated with that in starting your own affiliate?
Oh, no. We just asked for $1,000 for them to just put that into the nonprofit, and that just starts them out to become an affiliate. They can use our logo, our information, and then they also get me as a resource. So there's my time is also figured into that.
Great. That absolutely sounds wonderful because so many people want to start things these days, but they really don't know how to do it, and $1,000, if they get a bunch of people together, everybody could put their money together and be able to come up with that. It's not like
Absolutely.
Just one person.
Absolutely, and they might even be able to get a corporate sponsor to do that as well. So they might be able to find a corporate local sponsor that says, hey, we'll put up the $1,000 affiliate fee so that we can get you started. And some of the best people to start this would be a retired teacher, somebody that was in the education field that still has the passion but maybe have retired, because then everything connects for them. They come in and they're like, oh, my gosh, this all makes sense. I wish you were around when I was a teacher is what I hear so
right.
often, especially from the retired teachers that are volunteers.
You know, it just is amazing to me because there was nothing around, you know, when my kids might have needed something. And like I could say, I buy all these school supplies, and what am I doing with them? In fact, I'm sitting here now looking at my shelf saying, do I really need that 100 of those markers, you know?
Right.
And those could all be donated because all they're doing in my house is drying out.
Yep.
You know? So do you also accept gift cards? I know when I go to Walmart, if I really want to buy those maybe 200 more markers, maybe I should just be giving you a gift card to Walmart.
Absolutely. Yep. Gift cards are really wonderful. We can use them, and then we can also give them out to teachers depending on what denominations they are and, you know, who might need it. You know, sometimes we get teachers that come in just in tears because they have no money and they need to really start their program. We've also had donations of scholarships for the membership fee. So I've had people donate, say, you know, I want to sponsor 5 teachers. So they will pay the $35 membership fee for 5 teachers, and then the teachers will come in, and when we feel that there's a teacher that is in really great need for it, for the materials, then we will give them that scholarship, which has been really wonderful.
You know, that's absolutely so true. There's a lot of young teachers out there, and it's great they get started and everything, and they give out so much of their money, within 5 years they find themselves deciding, is this something I really want to do anymore? Right. Because they may have drained themselves financially and emotionally where they just don't know where to turn.
Mm-hmm.
So a program like this, you know, could offer that support. Hey, stay in and we'll help you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, if you could tell us about the events that you have coming up and how to contact you, that'd be wonderful.
Okay, we have the we're going to have the Kids in Need School Supply Drive giveaway. It'll be a drive-by giveaway. More than likely, it will be September 1st. So they can absolutely go to our website and find that information out or call us at 480-751-1122. And then our website is treasures, the number 4teachers.org. And there's all the information on there. If they want to contact me directly, just go to contact us and fill out that information and the email comes directly to me.
Great. Can we run down some items that you're potentially looking for? Because I may be getting ready to move or I may be getting ready to clean out my office or even my home or my kids are no longer in college. You know, what items would you be looking for? And you can give a very extensive list because it will ding in somebody's head and they'll say, man, I've got zillions of that.
Yeah, one thing that we get asked for all the time, which is really hard to come by right now, is 35-millimeter film canisters because most people are digital. But the teachers use those as rockets in their science class. They put an Alka-Seltzer tab and water in those with the cap, and it makes a rocket. So if you have a whole slew of 35-millimeter film canisters kicking around somewhere, we would love those.
You have another alternative to that.
Exactly.
If you may be a scientist, right, and you know that something else could be used, they'll be happy to know that idea so they can share it with their teachers.
Perfect. Another thing that we get asked for all the time that we don't get in as often as I think that we should is baby food jars. Teachers do all kinds of crafts. Things. They use them to hold things. So baby food jars is something that we can always use. I talked about the bottle caps. We love bottle caps. So I always tell people just put a container on your counter or whatever, and every time you go to throw away a plastic bottle or any kind of a bottle, I guess, just put the caps in there. I called it a cap catcher. Make yourself a cap catcher. Teach your kids, you know, to save the caps and put those in there. So caps are always great. We always need colored paper, file folders, pencils and pens and all of those types of things. But then your non-traditional items, golf balls. Teachers love magazines. We always have magazines left, especially National Geographics. Another thing that's great is the magnets. Even your advertising magnets that you get, like when you order a pizza and you put it on your refrigerator, the teachers use those. They cut those up and they'll put them on the back of a student, like maybe if a student did a picture or something, they'll make that into a magnet. So they use those all the time. Things like Pringles cans and PVC pipe, any of that kind of stuff we can always use. And then, of course, any kind of craft supplies, yarn, thread, you know, that sort of thing is really great. And another thing that we get asked for a lot, and it's not quite as common as it used to be, is wallpaper books. So a lot of people aren't wallpapering anymore, or the wallpaper is going digital. But I know that out there somewhere, somebody's got an office filled with wallpaper books and just has no idea what to do with them.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I can think of another item, too, that might be a great one is rug squares.
Yep.
We actually have
some of those right now.
Right, because when you go into, like, kindergarten and stuff, and when all the kids are sitting around in a circle, they always say, go bring your square so you don't sit on the floor. But, you know, a lot of kids are sitting on the floor because they didn't have the squares, but those are great if you can get sample shops or anything like that.
Carpet squares. We love those. Yep.
Correct. Right, and that's great. And, you know, so all of these items, if anyone has anything that they can donate, please do call Treasures for Teachers or send them an email or contact them directly through their website, which is treasures with an S, the number 4, teachers with an S, .org. And they'll be more than happy to make sure all of those items get to a great place, into the children's hands, which is what we're all trying to do anyway. And if you're a parent, also probably they could contact you. Do you have some system in which parents would be able to, should the parents go directly to the teacher if they need help?
Yes, they would go directly to the teacher.
And then the teacher
comes
their
directly. Donations are, you know, 100% tax deductible, just like any other nonprofit organization, so they know that.
You know, that's really great, too, because everybody needs those deductions. It has a lot of stuff that they're just giving away.
Right.
You know, you hate to just turn around and say, well, let's just throw it in the garbage. You know, if it can be used, it can be used well.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you said about golf balls, and I can think of how many places have golf balls that they just, you know, even gardeners would be picking up golf balls if they're on a golf course, and they could just be donating those. So there's, you know, you don't always have to be in the right place, you know, like let's say a golf person, but you could just be doing a job and find a lot of them and then donate those.
Exactly, yeah.
So is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your project so that we could share your passion? Go ahead.
Oh, if I could share my passion, like I said, I would love to see one of these in every state. So my dream would obviously be to see some people contact me and say, wow, I just heard your story. I would love to get something started in my state, and how can we do that? So that would be really my biggest dream here through this program, is to get that word out. Because by doing that, we're helping out more teachers, we're helping out more students, and we're preserving our environment. And really, that's one of the most important things here as well. You know, the beauty of this program is that we are helping students, teachers, businesses, the community, but also our environment. And our environment's so important. So when we look at ways to be able to reuse stuff, we can do that. And it doesn't cost anything to do it. It's free. It's free to reuse. And so that's what's so great about the whole reuse concept. And if people out there are interested in the whole reuse concept, just do a Google search. Oh, my gosh, there's so much great information about reuse out there. There's another really great social media site. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's Pinterest. And on Pinterest, my name is also Reuse It. But if they do a reuse search on Pinterest, it's amazing what people have done with items that you would think were meant for the landfill or for the trash, and how they've reused items into just wonderful, useful things, and then beautiful art, and just all kinds of other things. So, yeah, that would be my dream. I really, really appreciate you letting me be on the show today. It was just a pleasure, and thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us. I just, you know, when I saw about the program, it was just something that I, too, had felt that there was a need in my area, because there is nothing here. So knowing also that you're also giving back to people in other areas by use of an affiliate, you know, they don't have to go out and cold figure this out on their own. So you're
right.
Really paying it forward. So thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being on our show today. If you can give your contact information one more time, and so glad to have you.
Thank you. It is Treasures, the number 4, teachers.org. They can absolutely call us at 480-751-1122. My name is Barbara Blaylock. If they want to send me an email directly for any kind of information, they can just go to our website under Contact Us, and that email comes directly to me.
Thank you so much for being with us today. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
If anybody would like to have any more information, please check out the links to this site on Blog Talk Radio, and you'll be able to find out more information about Barbara. Should you not have had a pencil on there, you can always find that information listed underneath the show description. You will also be able to find on there a link directly to her website, so you can just check there at any time. This show can be linked. It is on any of your newsletters, if there's any place you'd like to share with other people about paying it forward. And you will also be able to find this archived, and you can listen for free at any time at blogtalkradio.com or on iTunes, on podcast, under my name, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And thank you so much for being with us today, and till the next time. Thank you.